In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. While Mothering Sunday in the United Kingdom and many Commonwealth nations is the fourth Sunday in Lent, which we already discussed on that date, today is Mother's Day here in the U.S. And of course, there are many mothers among us. So let us give thanks both to and for those mothers who are present. If you fall into that category and would not mind being recognized as such, please raise your hand. All right. Let's have a rare round of applause for those who have been called to the vocation of motherhood. Thank you all very much. The Holy Scriptures have this to say in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." And our Lord himself, in our gospel lesson for this morning, notes that a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Of course, nowadays we have to point out that man in this sense refers to any human being, not merely members of the male sex, but in any case. C.S. Lewis, whom many of us admire, had a number of wise words on the subject of mothers and motherhood, among them these: "A mother is a circle of strength founded on selflessness and unwavering love." These words beautifully encompass their deep and abiding love for their children and families, as well as the remarkable inner strength that mothers possess, often putting their children's needs before their own, and occasionally capable of practically superhuman feats when it comes to protecting those children. Lewis also reminds us that a mother's love has the power to shape and mold a child's character. He writes, "A mother's love is like a compass guiding us through life's uncertain terrain." This quote serves as a gentle reminder of the immense influence mothers have on their children as they negotiate the challenges and complexities of life. In addition to highlighting the strength and guiding presence of mothers, Lewis also acknowledges the wisdom and insight which they often possess. He once said, "Mothers have a way of understanding things that no one else can understand." This quote speaks to the unique intuition and deep understanding that mothers often have for their children. I was so blessed in my mother, allowing them to empathize and provide comfort in unique and beneficial ways. Of course, it is also true that there is nothing magical about motherhood. Becoming a mother does not guarantee that a woman will become an angel. Lewis may have said that a mother is the closest thing to an angel we will ever encounter in our lives, but that doesn't mean that all mothers are angelic or that any mother is necessarily going to be angelic all the time. Clearly, some mothers are better and some worse than others, and I would invoke a special blessing on those women whose mothers may have been less than ideal and who responded by striving to be a better mother to their children. In our epistle lesson for this morning, we heard the admonition of St. Peter that, "With well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God." By serving their families with love and kindness, mothers also serve God. And that brings me to the final Lewis quote that I wanted to share with you today. "We live in a world which often seeks to diminish and even disparage those women who understand their call, their vocation in life, to be focused on home and family. Motherhood and its close ally, what earlier generations of women proudly claimed, as my own mother did, the vocation of being a homemaker." The late, great G.K. Chesterton reminded us that, quote, "Feminism is mixed up with the muddled idea that women are free when they serve their employers, but slaves when they help their husbands." And I would add, their families in general. C.S. Lewis's take on homemaking is very different than that of feminists, either in his or in Chesterton's day, or for that matter, our own, perhaps especially our own. A version of his quote on the subject appears in several variations, but the closest one to what he actually wrote is this: "A housewife's work is surely in reality the most important work in the world. Your job is the one for which all others exist." Think about that for a moment. This is frequently listed as a misquote of Lewis, but in fact it is a condensed version of a longer quote written to a woman identified only as Mrs. Johnson, and it reads as follows. "I think I can understand that feeling about a housewife's work being like that of Sisyphus, who was the stone-rolling gentleman. But it is surely in reality the most important work in the world. What do ships, railways, mines, cars, government, etc., exist for, except that people may be fed, warmed, and safe in their own homes? As Dr. Johnson said, to be happy at home is the end of all human endeavor. We wage war in order to have peace. We work in order to have leisure. We produce food in order to eat it. So your job, that is, being a homemaker, is the one for which all others exist." As one commentator, a woman who blogs on the subject of homemaking with the nom de plume of Gina Makes It, points out, "Wow, what an encouraging letter indeed. I surmise that the mysterious Mrs. Johnson must have written to Lewis first, comparing her work as a housewife to the Greek myth of Sisyphus, who is condemned to eternally roll a boulder uphill, only for it to roll back down again." And in response, C.S. Lewis offered a comforting and encouraging counterpoint. "The work that takes place within our homes is not only important, it's foundational to everything else we do as a society." In his letter, Lewis immediately recognizes the monotony of housework, a point I think we can all agree on. The endless loop of making beds, emptying dishwashers, and washing clothes can sometimes feel just as futile as poor Sisyphus's condemnation. But Lewis reminds Mrs. Johnson that these seemingly small, mundane acts are actually the most crucial of all human endeavors. Without homes that are warm, safe, and nourished, what is the purpose of all the machinery that drives our world? Ships, railways, cars, governments, and industries. According to Lewis, everything we build or produce ultimately exists to serve the purpose of ensuring that people are well cared for in their own homes. When we lose that, when we lose the peace, the comfort, the safety, the security of our own homes, society struggles and may collapse. Are we not seeing that this very day as we look around us? Lewis introspectively points out how all tasks performed as a collective society work to create an opposite outcome. Think about it. War is for peace. Work is for leisure. And producing food is for consumption. Our culture is geared toward creating a life where people can experience comfort, safety, and happiness in their homes. So while success and productivity are championed in the modern world, the outcome is the same: to have a happy home. Lewis draws on the words of Dr. Samuel Johnson, who famously stated, "To be happy at home is the end of all human endeavor." Now, Lewis also points out there was a dual thrust to this comment. To be happy in our earthly homes is the end of all human endeavor here on earth. Isn't it? When we look at it, isn't that really the case? Why else do we struggle? So that we can be happy at home. But Lewis also pointed out that there is a second piece to that puzzle, which is the end of all our endeavors. Ultimately, the ultimate end is to be happy at home, in our eternal home with God himself. So it is a two-pronged approach to that situation. At first glance, this idea, particularly if you only think about the first part, to be happy at home here on earth, may seem overly simplistic, but there's a deeper truth here. For many of us, home is the place where we feel most ourselves, where we can find rest, recharge, and experience genuine peace. Without this foundation, everything else, our work, our friendships, our hobbies, becomes less meaningful. A well-managed home, one that's organized, comfortable, and filled with care, can be the bedrock upon which everything fulfilling is built. It is both fortress and refuge, isn't it? It's the place that we can come back to recharge, to relax, to regroup, so that we can go back out again. But why do we go back out again? So that we can come home. Of course, not all mothers are homemakers, and nowadays, it seems, those mothers who are homemakers are in a distinct minority, although their number seems to be growing once again, I have noticed, as both women and men begin to realize the bill of goods they have been sold since the 1960s and 70s, with the sexual revolution and the lie that equality is found in identicality, that humans are like cogs in a machine, with men and women serving as interchangeable parts. But it was not always so. My mother was a homemaker and proud to be one. She went to homemaker's society meetings on a monthly basis. She went to the women's circle at her Methodist church. And a part of both was learning to help to build and maintain that kind of comforting, nurturing home of which we are talking. So, of course, were both of my grandmothers, her mother and my father's mother. And so have been the vast majority of mothers over the centuries and millennia of human history. Now, I do not wish in any way to minimize the accomplishments of single mothers who have had to work often long hours to support their children, nor the unfortunate necessity created by our modern world, which often requires both fathers and mothers, indeed, men and women in general, to work, to support their families and households, even if that consists only of the two of them. But what I do wish on this Mother's Day is to celebrate those women, both past and present, who have embraced the vocations of motherhood and homemaking, to the greatest extent their particular circumstances allow, and to encourage young women and young men alike to strive for a future in which that dual vocation is once again seen as not only a viable, but a noble choice. And to conclude with yet another quote from the blog I referenced above, in a world that often prioritizes productivity, achievement, and outward success, it's easy to overlook the quiet, sustaining work that happens in the home. So the next time you find yourself knee-deep in a mundane household task, remember that you are contributing to something much larger than yourself. You are creating the very environment in which happiness, peace, and fulfillment can take root, not just for yourself, but for everyone around you. I believe that God did not make men and women as interchangeable parts or as cogs in a machine. I believe that we have different strengths, different abilities for a reason, and I pray for a world in which those differences are celebrated, not minimized. And to all mothers and future mothers and would-be mothers everywhere, I wish you a very happy and blessed Mother's Day. In God's name, who livest and reignest, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen.